If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Going to talk about some of the Islamic laws about medical issues and conditions according to Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography and we'll be back. Don't go away.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Subhanallah.
Sheikh Javid, since we are talking about the, some of the Islamic laws around the medical issues and circumstances, let me ask you this question. This is very important, actually, to note the difference, if there is any, of course, or there are any differences between examining the genitals and, the other parts of the bodies of non-mahram persons. We all know that, non-mahram is supposed to be not touched by the opposite sex, right?
Sure.
So, but for the sake of medical training, gaining experience or the skill, I'm talking about like the interns, for example, or, the doctors. Is there any difference between the two? I mean, whether the doctors touch the genitals or examine the genitals or the other parts of the body of the non-mahram persons?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Insofar as necessity is concerned, there is no difference between the ruling of examining the genital area and the other parts of the human body, because there is a necessity. And there is a hadith which says, al-darurat tubih al-mahdurat, which means that wherever there is necessity and wherever there is an emergency situation,
right,
you are allowed to do to do whatever is necessary to treat the patient and to diagnose the diseases or to help the patient in whatever manner possible, because there is a necessity. And of course, as Supreme Leader Grand Ayatollah Khamenei states clearly, the universal criterion is the need for training and studying medicine to save the human life, okay? And that is necessary, because you just asked me a question about medical training and gaining skill and
yes.
experience. Of course, gaining experience is necessary when it comes to saving human life, when it comes to protecting and caring for human life, and of course, in situations like this, one should suffice, of course, with the necessary cases.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to gaining experience, when it comes to touching or treating or approaching a patient, one has to suffice to the necessity and to the necessary cases.
I see.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And another question quite related to this, if you just enlighten us with the ruling and the Islamic laws about the cases where male doctors practice midwifery and other childbirth complications. Especially, I'm talking about the remote areas, the remote places on earth, like the villages, for example, where usually you can't find, female doctors in those places. So if there are no female doctors available in the villages, what's the situation? What's the Islamic law or the status of the Islamic laws around this issue? We all know that these complications are very much a matter of life and death, They are life-threatening, let's say bleeding after labor, for example, all right? Or after childbirth. So stopping such bleeding needs proper training and experience during the course of study in schools of medicine.
Did you ask me a question about women in labor when there is,
yes,
for example?
If there are no female doctors, so what happens there, like when it comes to midwifery and childbirth and
You're
labor,
right.
Yes.
Well, it is not permissible for the nurses to deliberately look at the private parts of a woman in labor while she is experiencing labor. Of course, looking deliberately at the genital area of the wife who is giving birth to a child is not permissible unless it is, of course, necessary. And the same goes for the doctor, who should avoid looking at the body of the patient or touching it unless it is necessary. So there is no difference between a nurse or a doctor when it comes to seeing a doctor, the genital area of a woman, or touching the private parts of a woman. Of course, when it comes to male doctors, there the restriction is more intense. And of course, a man cannot touch a woman who is non-mahram, of course, to him unnecessarily. And if he wants to touch, he should use something like gloves or something like a barrier, if possible, when touching. And of course, when it's not possible to touch the, for example, the woman or the patient, the female patient, without gloves or without a barrier, then he can touch her without those gloves or without the barrier. Grand Ayatollah Khamenei states clearly that the woman who is supposed to be the patient should do her best to cover herself, of course, if she is aware and if she is able to do so, so that for example, only those parts which are necessary to be seen must be seen, not every part of her body, because she cannot completely uncover herself. Mm-hmm. For example, if she is going to check her chest or maybe legs or arms, only that part of the body should be uncovered and not the entire body.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away.
لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Mahajad, the host of this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Well, we are talking about some of the Islamic laws around medical issues and circumstances. And so far, I asked you a couple of questions, Sheikh Javid. Let me continue the queries around the same area, I mean, the medical issues. Well, we all know that you also mentioned it just before the break about the gloves or barriers, for example. And there are some Sharia standards, such as, for example, examination through the mirror. Right?
Yes.
But we all know that in most hospitals, all right, even in the, which we call it, or the universities, and the hospitals which are affiliated with those universities, the interns go there during their internship,
yes,
for example.
Yes.
And these, you know, Islamic laws or the criteria for them are not usually held or upheld, right?
Yes.
So the question is, how should the interns go about this? Because it seems that neither the teacher nor the students or the other students, in fact, uphold such standards.
You're right. Well, according to His Eminence, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, there is no harm in studying medicine and training in medicine, in the field of medicine,
mm-hmm.
even by carrying out examinations which are haram in themselves, examinations which, according to His Eminence, haram in themselves, provided that it is essential for training in medicine and acquiring experience, because there is greater interest in acquiring experience and also in treating the sick. There is a greater experience. Even though, for example, you are going to touch someone, you are going to see what you are not supposed to see according to Islamic Sharia, that seeing, for example, the genital area of a woman is essentially forbidden, but when it comes to gaining experience and treating the sick, you need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a larger or a greater interest in doing this. So again,
we come back to the necessity law, so, right?
Of course, the necessity and also greater interest of the overall community of Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it is permissible in this case. And Ayatollah Khamenei says that the student who is actually, or maybe just as you rightly termed, the intern, must actually be confident that the ability to save the human life in the future depends on that knowledge, on acquiring that knowledge, acquired in this way, you know. And he must also be confident that he would be in a situation whereby the sick are going to consult him, seek his advice, and he would be responsible to mm-hmm. save their lives.
Thank you very much, Ashtabi.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. We leave you in Allah's care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
محيي مميت أبطال